Welcome to Right Spokane Perspective with your host, Tim.
And Shannon.
It's opinion, fact, information, and your alert system. Stay tuned and enjoy the show. And welcome to Right Spokane Perspective on this Saving More This Monday, or maybe it's More Paperwork Monday, episode on Right Spokane Perspective. We're going to be covering a little bit about our elder years, a little bit about our younger years, and how the government's wasting our money, but then giving it back after inspiration.
Our inspiration today is meeting together in Jesus. When I went through an extended period of emotional and spiritual pain and struggle due to difficult circumstances in my life, it would have been easy for me to withdraw from church. And sometimes I did wonder, why bother? But I felt compelled to keep attending each Sunday. Although my situation remained the same for many long years, worshiping and gathering with other believers in services, prayer meetings, and Bible study supplied the encouragement I needed to persevere and remain hopeful. And often I'd not only hear an uplifting message or teaching, but I'd receive comfort, a listening ear, or a hug I needed from others. The author of Hebrews wrote, "Don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another." This author knew that when we face hardships and difficulties, we'll need the reassurance of others, and that others would need ours. So this scripture writer reminded readers to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess and to consider how to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's a big part of what encouragement is. That's why God leads us to keep meeting together. Someone may need your loving encouragement, and you may be surprised by what you receive in return. Heavenly Father, please help us not give up meeting together with other believers, but to experience together your peace and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I think we're going to be forced to commune with others in much more close proximity. Maybe not just in those human filing cabinets, because there's no homes being built, just apartment complexes. I guess some homes. But maybe we'll be gathering together in homeless camps. I keep looking at government policy, where they're spending all of our money, and that we need a government to do all these things for us, and they take our money, and then we only get part of it back. Kind of like Social Security. I know that Shannon on Friday's show wanted to be a little bit more positive when we were talking about children and families and all of the challenges with parents and all the paperwork that they have to do. But really, at the end of that article, going through all that stuff that we didn't get to, Shannon, was basically just the government tracking system, which we kind of know as, and I don't know if they've changed the name, it was the P20W system. It was tracking prenatally to 20 years old, basically, but it was much larger than that. They were going to do basically birth through death state tracking of everything that we do, where we work, every dollar we make, every tax we pay.
Cradle to grave.
And it just creates a lot more cost. I mean, just have freedom, let people do things. And we've seen that in the past with freedom. When people have freedom, part of the reason why our country became so wealthy, aside from some of the interesting policies that gave us dominance in certain areas of global finance, but freedom to engineer things, freedom to travel, freedom to work with other people and create companies and businesses and products and food. And America had success because of those things, not because of government programs. But more and more, like we covered last week, the government's just involved in every facet of our lives, every single corporation that we engage with. And we have politicians that cost us a fortune with the way that they take our money with promises to repay it through these programs. And then the money isn't there, just like we covered how children are not being produced by the American population at a rate that would save Social Security. But Social Security was created as a 1% voluntary tax for a retirement program. Well, now Social Security, if you have an employer, you pay 6.2% into this program. A lot of people don't pay that much into their retirement programs for their savings. And we see that self-employed people pay 12.4% into Social Security. And then when they go to retire, they might only collect that for a few years and they never get their actual money back. But the reason why the government needs us to have children to not be on subsidies and hopefully be in the workforce to help prop up Social Security and the future of it is because they've spent the money. They've squandered it. And there is a ballot initiative this year that people are going to be able to vote on that has to do with a long-term care act. Now, we talked about paperwork. That's more paperwork for the employers. It's more paperwork for people. And of course, the Long-Term Care Act, when we get to the age of maybe getting that state-funded program money back, it's a small amount of money. And over the lifetime, does it even cover the paperwork costs? Does it even cover the cost of the employer to have this state program? And then will the money even be there? And then if you leave the state or your employment conditions change, you have to re-enroll in the program and the money's not even there. So it's just a bureaucratic mess of the government taking more of our money, just like Social Security, except there's another proposal in the legislature. And this actually is coming from an article out of the Journal of Business, the Spokane Journal of Business, and it's proposed legislation to compel more saving for retirement, because obviously Social Security is not enough, even though they said, oh, the 1% isn't enough. We got to, you know, ramp it up. It's got to be more. And then the percent kept going up. And then they said, well, we're going to create a Social Security system that is sustainable for people to retire on. That's why we're paying 6.2%, self-employed people paying 12.4%. But that's not enough. So we need a state-run system. Now, I think there could be problems with this system, because is this state-run IRA system that's a vehicle to retirement planning that is being proposed in Washington state, is that going to be mobile? If you leave the state, are you going to be able to get your money back? I don't have faith in the state in how they spend my money. We covered all last week of how government is spending money in such irresponsible ways, ways that we would never as individuals spend it. I don't see that they're going to guard this program and the money that we put in it wisely. So here's a little tidbit from this again, Journal of Business from Spokane. Employers would take on additional administrative responsibilities like processing payroll deductions, providing employees with relevant information, but they wouldn't have to contribute to the accounts or pay for the plan's administration. So that's kind of interesting. They've got all these paperwork things and requirements the employer has to do, but they don't have to pay. What do you mean they don't have to pay? They have to pay for clerical people, accountants and bookkeepers, to keep track of all of it. So obviously the employers are going to be paying for some of the burden of this new state program. So this is basically going to be like a state-run IRA, or I would just call it a state Social Security system, is what they're trying to build here. It says that just over 4 to 10 private sector employees in Washington don't have access to retirement savings programs through their jobs, according to research from the AARP. If the proposed legislation is passed, employees would be enrolled into the program automatically with the ability to opt out at any time. So are they going to be informed that they can opt out of this program? Because if they are, employers are not going to want to deal with this. So they're going to tell all their employees, hey, you don't have to pay this and we don't have to do the paperwork if you just opt out. So now we're creating paperwork for employers, for all their employees to just opt out of the program. Now we're creating an administrative burden just to not be a part of a new government scheme to supposedly help us in our retirement years. So again, folks, you can contact your legislature if this bill keeps moving through the process, or even if it's stalled, let them know what you think about a new government program that's going to come out of the paychecks of Washingtonians. So the Washington Savings Program through Senate Bill 6069 passed through the Ways and Means Committee earlier this month. If passed by the full legislature, signed into law by the governor, the governing board would be directed to launch the program in 2027 and may stagger implementation in stages, House member Marcus Riccelli said. Riccelli says there wouldn't be an additional tax created to support the program. However, administration fees would be collected from individual participants to defray the costs of administering the program, the bill's fiscal note shows. So, folks, you're going to pay the administrative costs of this program. So whatever money you pay in, you're probably not going to get back, because you have to pay into the program for all of the administrative costs. Here's another piece about it from the estimated operating expenses for the program. They're about $460,000 2023 to 2025. And then from 25 to 27, 2025 to 27 biennium, it'll be $1.8 million before it's even implemented. And then in 2027 and 2029, it'll be $2.4 million. That's just for the administrative costs for the state. That's not also the administrative costs for the employers. And of course, this program will be kind of voluntary because they say that you can opt out of it. But every person that is legally working in the state, working for a small employer that doesn't already have a retirement account, they will be automatically enrolled. So I'm guessing this is going to be some administrative costs and paperwork for corporations with larger amount of employees who do have retirement programs, because every time they hire a new employee and do state paperwork, they're going to have to check that box and do paperwork to make sure that the state does not try to get that company to pull those funds out of your paycheck. So who knows what the cost will be. I don't think it'll continue to stay voluntary, but these schemes that the state puts into place to fulfill their political agendas always cost more money, always cost more paperwork, just like the initiative process for the Climate Commitment Act. They've got a scheme in the state budget that's going to give everybody a $200 check, every household, but there's strings attached because if the voters decide they don't like paying the couple thousand more dollars a year in inflated costs because of fuel and everything else, you're not going to get the check. But if you don't vote for Initiative 2117, people of certain incomes will receive checks. But of course, that's all going to cause paperwork too. So the government's taking your money, extracting money from you, and then they're going to give some of it back. So for instance, Washington Policy Center put out a piece on this, and it was written by Todd Myers. Basically, it's a bribe, if what I can see, for voters to not pass 2117, the initiative to get rid of the Climate Commitment Act that is increasing costs of everything, including fuel at the pump, food at the store, costs for doing everything for any employer, construction, anything that moves. And people will get a $200 check back, but it's kind of weird because it also includes Department of Commerce. It includes your utility departments and utility providers. So in King County, people of median income, people about $93,000 or so annual income would get the $200 check. And in Spokane County, households making less than $56,000 would get a check. So it's a big scheme that costs a ton of money in administrative costs to play these political games to take more of our money. And then you're going to get $200 back. What a scam. Anyhow, we're going to take a break and we're going to be right back again. I think Shannon's got some things to cover over there and we're going to be right back. Thank you for listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are only on the air and podcast because you support this program. You, the listeners, we are listener supported. Keep us on the air to keep all these interviews and shows going. Please go to rightspokaneperspective.com. There's a donate button there. Or you can send your donation to Right Spokane Perspective, LLC, P.O. Box 7620-99207. Thanks, and back to the show. And welcome back to Saving More This Monday. Wait a minute. I didn't find anything where we were saving any money. I guess there was forced taxation that we might get some of it back, like the Climate Commitment Act that we talked about as we jumped off in the break, where the common household is paying thousands more dollars a year because of the Climate Commitment Act in Washington State, not just in fuel costs, but the grocery store, everywhere else. And they don't want us to undo that horrible tax with Initiative 2117. So they're going to try to bribe voters, you know, the people that live in human filing cabinets, you know, people that are uninformed voters that are like, hey, I want a $200 check, when getting rid of the Climate Commitment Act is going to save them a ton more than that at the fuel pump and the grocery store. But they're not going to be informed about that. They're just going to be, you know, held that carrot. Here, you want that $200 check? Don't vote for 2117. Our state government has become one
of the... That's buying votes.
It is buying votes. It is... Our state government has become a fraudulent, unethical waste of our time and money. And they lie to us constantly. And sometimes, every now and again, the media will tell us the truth. But who's actually paying attention to that? Who can navigate the swamp of Washington State to be able to vote clearly on these things, unless they're listening to the right Spokane perspective, unless their family and friends are informing them on these issues, who can make a clear decision on these things? And then, so we have our state lawmakers doing all of this stuff that just costs massive amounts of administrative costs. But then we also have our municipal city governments doing stupid things that cost money. And I'm going to tell you, this isn't an I told you so moment. I guess it is. But when the city council in the city of Spokane was preparing a resolution to demonize, which is kind of ironic, to demonize the Christian community in Spokane, I said, I hope they don't pass this, because if they do, they're inviting a plethora of lawsuits, and it only has to start with one, because they defamed the entire Christian community that showed up to a Christian concert, to a Christian gathering singing worship songs, because they couldn't contain themselves. They had to play politics to try to influence the mayoral election in the last city of Spokane election cycle, because they wanted to get rid of the current mayor that we had to put their political friend in the mayor's office. So they had to make a media blitz and spectacle, perfect word, spectacle, out of a Christian concert that the then mayor, Nadine Woodward, and a lot of other thousands of Christians, including our daughter, attended because they wanted to sing worship music. And instead, they treated them like racist, which there was a lot of different races and different churches and different beliefs from different denominations around Spokane that were there. But they had to use that as a moment to campaign. And in doing that, they put the taxpayers at risk, because what they were doing was a violation of their oath of office. I said it at the time. I said, if they pass this, they are violating their oath of office. They are going against not just one, but many freedoms that are guaranteed in the Constitution. That's the right to gather, the right to assemble, and the right to your religious beliefs and to practice those religious beliefs. But the city council don't listen to right Spokane perspective. They don't listen to common sense. Instead, they just play politics, even if it costs their local taxpayer money. Shannon?
So it's really fitting that our inspiration today was about meeting together. And as a reminder, the author of Hebrews wrote, "Don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another." And this concert literally was about encouraging the people in Spokane. We had the Gray Fire going on. We had the Fire and Elk going on. There was prayer going on. This concert was moved to the indoor event center, and it was put on for free for the entire community. Spokane, Idaho, North Idaho, pastors got together to put together this concert with
right.
Sean Foyt.
And this was because there was so much smoke outside. It was going to be at an outdoor venue. It got moved to an indoor venue. And some people didn't arrive because of the conditions and the weather. But there may have been thousands more. But now we're sitting in a situation that basically I laid out at the time. If these council members do this, they're putting the local taxpayer at risk, because these people are violating their oath of office. And they basically, they defamed and libeled all of the people that were in attendance for, like you said, in the inspiration, their assembly for worship.
Gathering together. So out of the Inlander, this was February 14th. The city of Spokane may face legal trouble because of a city council resolution that condemned the then mayor Nadine Woodward for appearing on stage with former state representative Matt Shea, a controversial pastor, at a Christian worship event last summer. The resolution was passed in September, a few weeks after video circulated of Woodward getting on stage with Shea and praying with him at the Lettuce Worship Concert, which was hosted by Sean Foyt, a conservative musician and evangelist who tours the country. The resolution condemned Woodward's actions and declared that the Spokane City Council does not condone the hateful and dangerous beliefs espoused by Matt Shea and Sean Foyt. The progressive council members who championed the resolution said it was necessary for the city council to make a statement standing against hate. The council's two conservatives argued that it was a political stunt and a waste of time.
Well, it was a political stunt and a waste of time because the people that were there to worship and gather together. It was an open public event. Anyone from the community could show up.
Yes.
For free. And so it was a political stunt and they basically demonized everyone that showed up there. I really know there are a lot of people that went to that event and I don't think they're filled with hate. I think they love their community. I think they love their fellow believers and they were there to worship together. If they're so hateful, why did they want to gather with so many people, Shannon?
I don't know. The resolution passed 4-3 after a period of heated public testimony with council members Jonathan Bingle, Michael Cathcart, and Ryan Ulrich opposed. The controversy garnered national attention, and Woodward lost her bid for the re-election in November.
Oh, a little bit of election tampering that went on with our city council that's leaving the citizens now in a lurch to pay for the legal counsel because of a lawsuit that could very well turn into a series of lawsuits, not just for the one promoter of the event and the musician that was there, but everyone in attendance was libeled as well.
Now Foyt is claiming the city owes him money. On January 18th, he filed a claim for damages alleging the four council members who voted for the resolution acted under the color of law to reprieve Foyt of his federally guaranteed First Amendment and 14th Amendment rights, privileges, and immunities. The city has responded by hiring legal help and telling officials to retain documents in case of a lawsuit. Foyt's claim alleges that the resolution communicated to the government and elected leaders of Spokane, Washington, that if they gathered with Foyt and anyone who believed, prayed, and worshipped like Foyt, that they would receive an official condemnation from Spokane. The claim was quoted by the city's legal department in an internal memo sent to city officials, which has been viewed by the Inlander. The memo does not say how much money Foyt is seeking. The city receives a number of claims for damages each year, often for small things such as damage from a pothole or a garbage truck backing into somebody's garage. The city contracts with a third party that reviews the claims and, if deemed appropriate, settles for a dollar amount. A claim has to be filed at least 60 days before a lawsuit can be filed over the incident. The city seems to be taking the possibility of legal action seriously. Public documents show that on February 1st, the city entered a $50,000 contract with Pacifica Law Group to provide legal services and advice regarding the damage claim and any subsequent litigation brought by Foyt.
Oh, subsequent litigation brought by Foyt. Well, I think that the $50,000 now, city of Spokane taxpayers have to pay because you had a progressive majority on the city council that wanted to do meddling in a mayoral election to do a political stunt, to go after the current mayor that was running for re-election because they showed up to a public event with people of religious beliefs to worship, and she showed up to pray over the city. Now, the interesting thing here, and I don't know if the Inlander article is going to lay this out, but a lawsuit is going to bring forward discovery. So the initial, and I put out the warning, if the city council was listening to Right Spokane Perspective, they would have known. I put out a warning because the original wording of their resolution was much stronger and basically demonized the whole entire
community
of people that attended. And basically that was the line of thinking that they were using when they crafted it. So it's also going to bring forward any communications that they had amongst themselves, activists, and it might even flow into meddling in electioneering for the city council, using city resources, official resolution to meddle in an election, because that was the purpose. And in discovery, the taxpayers of the city of Spokane could be on the hook for many more lawsuits, which is why this retainer is $50,000 and not just $10,000. It's not looking to settle out of court, because I think the legal analyst of this one knows that this city council, this progressive majority of morons, stepped in it big time.
On February 2nd, City Attorney Mike Piccolo sent a memo to city officials instructing them to retain copies of any emails, text messages, calendars, call logs, and other documents and communications relating to the September resolution. As Mr. Foyt has retained an attorney and filed a claim for damages, there is a possibility that he will initiate a lawsuit against the City of Spokane and or the individual employees and former employees, the memo said.
Right. So here's another interesting thing. So not only is the city on the hook, but city staff that engaged in electioneering using a resolution, using levers of the government to try to change the outcome of a mayoral election by demonizing people using their First Amendment rights to gather, assemble, and engage in religious activities.
Quite frankly, including Nadine Woodward herself.
I think that she has a pretty large claim in this too, but I think that everyone that was in attendance when the local newspapers came out. Now remember, this process of discovery, which is why they brought out a $50,000 contract initially with the attorneys that they've secured, is because all the newspaper articles that got written to the public are going to be part of it. All of the documents having to do with internal city staff that helped write the resolution, and any activists that helped engage in all this. There's a number of different individuals here that could also be held personally liable depending on the kind of legal protections the city has for certain individuals, because using levers of government to try to change the outcome of election
is above and beyond your elected duties.
And it's not legal to use government for electioneering, and it's not legal to demonize people for using a government entity to demonize people for their religious beliefs and gathering together to worship. And I think there's going to be a lot of stuff that comes out, not just from the discovery side of the government's case, but also from the discovery side of the private individual's case, as well as subsequent lawsuits. I think that term was used in that article because I think the attorneys probably told the city council at the time that it was not a wise idea, and they pushed forward anyways because of their lust for power and ultimate control in the city of Spokane. They will stoop to any low to gain that power to get Lisa Brown elected, and that's what they did.
And I do believe Representative or Councilman Michael Cathcart did ask for the memo from City Legal to be released to the public so that they could see what City Legal had said about that before they voted on the resolution and was turned down.
Of course.
So
because
there's that.
Their political aspirations they're not just unethical and violate their oath of office and the reason why we have a constitution, Bill of Rights. Yep, folks, this is government. Elections have consequences, and we elected people that were extremely unwise in their political strategies, and now we're all going to have to probably pay more taxes, or we'll see a larger hole in the city's budget because, I don't know, I'm going to have to contact my daughter and see how she felt about being called all the names that were called by those individuals. And we'll find out in discovery with this lawsuit as it comes out, did they actually consider all of those individuals that were in attendance to be white nationalists or Christian white nationalists or whatever terminology they wanted to use, domestic terrorists, because they went into a public place, open to the public, for free, gathering together, assembling to worship. Folks, our government is in disgusting shape, and we're going to have to clean it up because we can't continue to see the wasted monies. Of course, we covered what the legislature's been up to lately, and they're not fixing the problems. They're just funding more of the problems. And it seems like the activists that are gaining profits because of their support from entities that we're funding that get into local public office are then creating even more liabilities for us taxpayers. Anyways, that's all for this Monday. We'll be with you folks again tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are sponsored by Right Spokane Perspective LLC and made possible by advertisers you hear and contributions from listeners like you.